like before you take your Bible, find the book of Job, book of Job. Years ago, I had the privilege to lead a young man to the Lord I worked with at Pontiac Motors. And he was excited about the things of God. And I don't know, it was about 2 weeks later, he came in and he says, "Man alive," he says, "I really like the book of Psalms and that book of Job." I had to chuckle, but he'd been reading. And praise God for that. Chapter number 28 of the book of Job. And this is really a tremendous chapter in the midst of all that takes place. I've entitled this tonight, Finding Wisdom. Finding Wisdom. As we read tonight, I want you to notice verse number 12 and verse number 20, because a question is asked two times there. And that is, where shall wisdom be found? Now that's, I think, one of the great questions of the Word of God. It might only be second to the question, what must I do to be saved? So let's look here. Verse number 1 says, "Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock, he overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out the rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light." And then the question is asked, but where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Before we go on any farther, I think it would be good for us to stop and understand that as we study the Word of God, especially the book of Job, we know one thing, and all of it's inspired, yet God saw fit in this book and some other places to include some half-truths. Even quotations of the devil can be found here. And so God chose to have that place there that we could understand some things. And so we have to be careful that we understand that when we read those kinds of things, that though it's not a truth, that God did not say it. Okay? And the way to do that is basically to study in the light of all of Scripture. I think it's good for us to also remember something about this book. God used a very godly man to write it. In Job chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Now God asked that to Satan. A high opinion coming from our Lord. Chapter 2, verse 3, it says very similarly, "And the Lord said to Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him, destroy him without cause." In the midst of some of the most horrendous sufferings a man could have, I can't imagine having boils all over the body as he did. But in the midst of that, we find that Job never sinned in his words, saying things that would be foolish to say. In chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Again, in the following chapter, it says, "But he said unto her," speaking to his wife, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." I'll tell you what, I don't find too many people that can control their tongue all the way. And the book of James kind of deals with that, doesn't it? Well, we have something that I believe helps us to understand that this is a tremendous book. And that is that God has used this man of great character to declare to us some marvelous truth. I think a verse in 2 Peter, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And so we have here what God has recorded for us that we might gain some marvelous truth. And so we're going to look at finding wisdom. In the verses we read here, we find that men work very hard to get material things. They go to great lengths to mine precious metals. Verse 1 through 6 speaks of that. It's iron's taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. And verse 6, it says, "And the stones of it are the place of sapphires, and hath dust of gold." He talks about, and if we go down to verse number 15, we'll look at that just prematurely, but it says, "It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire." And on it goes to mention the many precious metals that men go forth. And we find from this his words, we look at verse 9 and 10 especially, men go to great lengths to literally plow through the earth. Notice what it says there. "He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountain by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing." And he's speaking of going into places for that which is valuable to mankind, places where the wild animals had never been previously. They had not seen it. They had not walked there. But God shows us they dug deep into the earth to find these things. But wisdom can't be found with man's effort. We think we can find all these riches and it's going to really make life worthwhile. But riches do not give us wisdom. Let's read just a little bit more. And verse number 12 says, "But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it's not in me, and the sea saith, it's not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the earth. Destruction and death say we have heard the fame thereof with our ears." Man can do what he tries, or what he does all sorts of things, trying to find the riches of this world. And though he comes and we see all the different types of things that are valuable, it has very little value in comparison to wisdom. A man might be rich, but lack wisdom. And one of these days, all that wealth is going to be left behind. In the book of Matthew, it states it very well. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I think right now one of the marvelous things that is taking place across our country is that the things we value so much, some of that's being lost. But there's other things being gained. I think about so many of our moms now homeschooling their kids. And I heard one mother said that a teacher went on strike wanting more pay. I heard that corporal punishment and prayers back in schools. And anyways, we got all this stuff going on. But listen, we Americans, we put so much stock in wealth. I mean, we're talking about things in this world. But wisdom is really what we need. True wisdom is getting what is of value after we die. And what's of value? Eternal life. We find that Job was stripped of all his earthly goods. He sought for wisdom. He looked for wisdom. Go back with me to verse number 12 for just a moment. It says, but where shall be found? Where shall wisdom be found? And where's the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not in me. No matter what valuables one owns, he cannot buy wisdom. He speaks of those things with the gold, the onyx, and the sapphire, and the different crystals of coral, the pearls, the rubies, the topaz. He says, you cannot buy wisdom. Only God understands the way to wisdom. Only God understands the way to wisdom. Go with me, verse number 23. What's it say? God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. What's he speaking of? Wisdom. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth unto the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, the way for the lightning, to the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. The God of all power that created everything, as we see, as we witness from these verses, he is the one that gives to us wisdom. Now that might seem obvious, but really, do we believe it? Consider this. Adam and Eve, created by God and placed in a perfect environment. And what do we find? We find that they fail to believe what God had shown to them. And we find man following. Listen to these words. Chapter 3, verse 4 and 5 of Genesis says this, and the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Who'd they listen to? They didn't listen to God, but they listened to the devil. But there's some good news, though. God still calls us out to have wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, 6, 7, 8. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. What's God saying? Don't try to get wisdom on your own. You don't have it. It's not there. It's something that comes from God. Matter of fact, James says it very well. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. The verse I'd like for you to really see is the very last verse. And notice what it says. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. I find here that God differentiates between wisdom and understanding. Wisdom, we find, is fearing the Lord. And some of us thought, well, we're not supposed to be afraid of God. They said, well, it's godly reverence. By the way, it is godly reverence, but let's understand this. It's also fear of standing against him. It means to tremble at his presence. When we really recognize the presence of God, it does something to us. And so he tells us to fear God. Interesting, Isaiah chapter 66 says, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Somebody who's afraid to cross God. Chapter 66 as well, verse 5 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified, and he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed." There ought to be the kind of fear that fears the wrath of an almighty God. Now, there's something interesting about that kind of fear. And we find it in Proverbs 9, verse 10. "For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. It's just the beginning. Sometimes we think that because we go to our schools and our colleges and our universities and we get degrees and we have all these letters behind our name that somehow that we have acquired great wisdom. If we do not know God and do not fear Him, we haven't begun to be wise. It's just that simple. And then we find something else. And that is, says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." The fear that will cause us to turn away from our sin, he describes as understanding. Making sense out of this thing. Proverbs 3:7. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." How do you find wisdom? Fear God. How do you get understanding? Depart from evil. He said, "Well, that's pretty simplistic." Evidently, it's not, because not many have it. But God wants us to have it. God wants to understand that it's worth more than all that we do to try to get riches. And that is to get wisdom, get understanding. One of the real bad things I find in our society is that we teach our young people, you go to school, you learn this, you learn that, you learn all these things so that you can go out afterwards and get yourself a real good job and make lots of money. And you know, that's not education at all. You might have so-called book smarts, but not have wisdom in knowing how to use it, especially to bring glory to God where it belongs. And that is a real need in our society. The wisdom to make proper and right decisions. I believe that we are seeing, in many regards, a world being manipulated right now. And scaremongers having Christians frightened. You know, if we feared God as much as we fear the coronavirus, we might be something for God. But we need the wisdom of God to make right choices and decisions in our lives and to go in the proper and the right direction. He said to the man, after the questions asked twice, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And depart from evil is understanding." I'm going to have a word of prayer. I believe Chad has a prayer letter tonight he's going to come and read. And I hope you take those letters seriously. A lot of our missionaries are kind of some dire straits. One of our missionaries was back here, was planning on going back. Now is stranded in America. Can't get back to their home field and other things of that nature. But let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a time that we can gather, and we pray that you would bless as we in our small groups, we fellowship, we think about the things of God. Lord, I pray that in homes now that we might just stop and discuss and think about this thing of wisdom and what's really important in life. And help us to understand that if we put you first, all those things that we so clamor after, you add to us anyway. But we ought to just seek after you and your wisdom. Bless in the remainder of this time, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.